try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Down. Get
round.
Nothing.
Ever.
Except your own weight and self-hate. Hi, this is the Cap Figure Podcast. My name is Ryan DiPaolo.
And I'm Tom McLaughlin.
With me here is Tom McLaughlin.
I actually thought of something that can keep you down.
What?
A guy walking out of the 7 train and onto the tracks.
All right. Well, I don't know. You know, we're recording this before I had time to edit the clips of us recording last night, Tom. So I don't know how much we want to get into it. Maybe we'll just reference it. I'm not going to do this fake radio voice the whole time. But I am trying to have more energy.
Woo! Shazam!
Shazam! Wow! It took us 2.5 hours to get to the Mets game, and I have a bunch of recordings, but I'll probably put it before the episode, so it's like, for the listener, it's like, yo, how'd they go back in the future?
Time travel.
Right? So let's not talk about that, but it was brutal. We made a friend, but we ended up having fun.
Jose Reyes. She was a friend for only half the trip, though.
Yeah, because then she sat across from us, the train, and then it got so crowded that we couldn't see her anymore. Mm-hmm. But we love you, Asperger's Jody. So the atmosphere at the game when we finally got to the Mets game last night, what's today? What day was it so people know what game we're talking about?
Thursday.
The last game against the Braves in the
Matt
series.
Matt Harvey night.
Thursday, April, what, 6th?
6th.
And the players, the atmosphere was all wacky because, like, a lot of people, I think, couldn't get there. It was raining all day yesterday, right?
Yep.
And so it was, like, empty. And players, well, with balls in play, like, I've never seen that, like, throwing balls in the stands, right? And you said you never saw that either.
Everybody was getting balls.
Everybody was getting balls all over. Matt Kemp was hitting balls. You know, balls everywhere. We snuck down. We were cranky, but it was really fun, 3.5 inning experience. Thanks, MTA. All right, so this is episode 45. I don't know if you should have this down by now, Tom, to plan ahead, but are you ready? Who wore number 45 before?
Actually, I didn't.
Jesus Christ. Jeez, oh my God. You know, you do all this effort for the show, you come here across town, and you don't even have a number 45 list ready?
No, I don't.
Is it loading? My internet sucks, so this might going to take a while. Tell me if I have to stall more.
Keep stalling.
Jesus Christ. All right, so also, you know, Yoenis Cespedes is very wide. He's clearly going to look like David Ortiz. These are my takeaways from the game yesterday, seeing them in person for the first time this year. Yoenis is going to be obese. Matt Kemp's ass is still fat, even if the rest of him lost weight. And Freddie Freeman is good. All right, who wore number 45, Tom?
So the player who wore the most years, Pedro Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
And the player who accumulated the highest WAR while wearing 45, Bob Gibson.
And any other notables? Yeah, any active players?
Yeah. Do you want to know? Yeah. Or are you just asking? yeah, so notable current players. Wow.
Name any.
R.A. Dickey.
Very notable. I don't know why you hesitate. Notable. He won a Cy Young.
Okay.
You know, the
cheap Cy Young.
Huh?
A cheap Cy Young.
Why? Because his knuckleball?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. He won like 100 games that year, man. And he turned into Travis d'Arnaud and Noah Syndergaard. How bad could that Cy Young be, dog? How bad could that Cy Young be?
It's a Canadian.
That's
Cy
not a
Young.
Fugazi. Yeah, that's a Canadian exchange rate issue, right? Like the banks took a big commission, and it's by like the banks I mean the Mets.
It's like a Rye Young.
What's that?
Rye Young.
What? I don't know.
It's an Asian Cy Young.
Oh, I get it. That's inappropriate.
Okay.
That's like the Tanaka intro last week. That's not appropriate, Tom.
Okay.
You can't be saying stuff like that. All right.
Who do you think you are?
Speaking of Asians, Rougned Odor signed an extension, right? He's not Asian, but you were saying that there are some other young players signing extensions. When we were brainstorming, like, what are trends in the first couple days, dog?
Yeah, so
who did? Fill me in, because I'm bad.
recently, and this is in the past, say, 2 months, and these are all guys who have between 0 and 3 years of service time, so it's, you know...
The free agency is, like, 3 years away, at least.
Right, and so we've seen in the past month Kevin Kiermaier, Rougned Odor, Jose Ramirez, Roberto Perez, Tim Anderson, Kevin Kiermaier, Ender Inciarte, Odubel Herrera, and then 2 days ago, before getting pegged in the face, Stephen Piscotty.
He got hit in the face?
He got hit 3 times going around the bases.
With what?
The ball.
How? Why?
He got hit by the pitch. He was sliding into second base, and the second baseman didn't catch it, so the ball hit him in the head. And then Javier Baez threw the ball home while he was sliding, and it just hit him right in the head.
But the pitch that he got on base with hit him in the head?
Not in the head.
Oh, okay, but he got hit 3 times, yep. And twice in the face.
Yep.
And is he out now?
He was out for a day with a concussion, but he's back.
Dude, what pussy pitchers are? Rich Hill is out again with a blister, and Stephen Piscotty gets hit in the face with a ball? Balls to the face are not fun. I know you know what that's like. And he's out for a day?
And he's back.
Dude, if I was a position player, I would treat pitchers like catchers. I mean, like kickers.
Mm.
None of this is like a gay metaphor. Whatever. So with this storyline, right, this is what prompted us to think about, like, position by position, basically. So clearly there's been the trend in the last couple years where teams are more and more valuing youth. Right?
Youth.
And Mike Francesa's theory, which I'll give him credit for, I'm sure it's other people's theories too, right? Here and there, but that because of amphetamines and there ain't no bulls or greenies no more, that older players cannot go as much, right? There's no older player playing 162 games now. There are younger players doing that here or there. Whatever you think of that theory, the trend is the trend, right?
That could account for some of it. I don't 100% buy that theory. But it could play a factor.
Well, what don't you buy about it?
I don't think that is the entire reason why younger players are in the game more. I just think that the preparation and the training that these players are getting at some, like, the elite high school programs are so good, so it kind of gets them up that learning curve a little bit faster.
Ah, so you're saying the learning curve, the more we get better at coaching, the more the learning curve in baseball will match the athletic peak curve, right? Because your
Correct.
Prime is supposed to be 25 to 30 in baseball, which is later than other sports. But that makes sense. That very well is because of the learning curve. And if that could get better and better, then it'll more be like, what years are your physical prime?
Right.
Dude, screw Mike Francesa. You know what? I like that. That's way better. Amphetamines are play a part, probs. But that's so with that said, though, there will be some day when it goes too far, probably, you know, like anything.
Sure.
Where somebody will be the team to, based on 10 games, give a guy buy out some free agent years. And they'll look like retarded, you know? So, like, I don't know if we're there yet or whatever. Who knows? You know, it's obviously if you could predict trends – then you'd be a millionaire, right, my man? Or, you know, or you could get a GM job, right? You know, you do, like, if you do things this way, then you get a job, right? So if I could tell you what player will get a hit, then I would just do that. But I could tell you what team will win. Anyway, so.
The team that's most notable for doing this, and they sort of started putting this trend into motion, is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Dog, and last night I was telling you that their front office tree is like in the NFL, the Bill Belichick coaching tree. I was like, yep. The St. Louis Cardinals front office is like the Bill Belichick coaching tree. They're just gods that are so good. They could be like, here, Brewers, you know, here, Astros.
Yeah, the Astros really scored big from an ex-Cardinals. He was the assistant GM, that guy, Jeff Luno, who's the Astros GM. But what's interesting about the trend is initially when we started seeing these deals, and what it means is a player hits free agency after being in the big leagues for 6 years, and so what these teams will do is they will guarantee a sum of money to this young player who has 4 years to go until he hits free agency. So they'll give him a guaranteed sum of money, say $40 million. And in return, they lock up an additional, say, 2 years past the free agency.
Right, and those 2 years are at a price that if the player plays as well as he has, you know, it's like the player takes less of a risk and then they cash out. It's less variance, right?
Correct.
And but the team is taking a risk that the player will fall off, but also they're betting on the player usually, right?
Yes.
It's almost like the player betting against themselves in a way, or hedging against an injury, and the teams are betting on the players with these deals, sort of.
Correct, yeah.
But I don't blame anyone for taking – I would take that deal. I wouldn't do – who was it? Maybe somebody in the Astro system a couple years ago.
John Singleton.
He took, what, $10 million?
Yeah, but now he can't scratch the big league.
Right, so, I mean, that worked out. I don't know if I would do that. I believe in myself a little more. But maybe if I knew I sucked, then I would.
Well, it's just –
That's the extreme.
It's sort of aligning incentives, right? Because for a young player, your first $20 million is much more valuable to you than, say, every additional $1 million after that. So, like, your first big
$20
million
is more than $1 million.
Well, I'm
joking.
Like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, like...
Because then you can make money off your money, obviously.
Right, like the marginal utility of each additional $1 million is less and less.
Yeah.
But so the Cardinals have had sort of mixed success with this. Matt Carpenter is the player that you think of that is a real big win. They've gotten him for a couple of extra years, and he's just been – I mean, he would have at least gotten $100, $125 million on the open market when he was set to be a free agent. He's making somewhere around $7 million a year, which is about half of what his market value is.
Yeah, that's
maybe
crazy.
Maybe even less.
Well, maybe now at first base it's less. But whatever. Someone could put him at second.
Third.
He's great.
But then on the other side of it, you know, you have players like Jaime Garcia and Alan Craig. Last year they actually gave a similar deal to Colton Wong, and he just immediately fell off.
Yeah, he might have to platoon this year. He might not even be an everyday starter.
Because there is... You know, and I'm thinking about this from the organizational standpoint. We talk about this a lot in football. Once a player gets paid, it's easier to cash it in, right? Your motivation in a lot of ways can go down. So you have to know the player, right?
Yeah, I feel like that happens less often in baseball for whatever. I think because in football, you know, sitting out, it directly helps you more. Like you know what I mean? Day to day, there's not as much a downside as putting in your A effort.
Right.
For your future earnings in baseball as there is in football.
Sure.
So getting paid, it's like, all right, I got paid. Now I'll slack again until I need to get paid again. Yeah, you're right. That happens all the time with a contract year, and then they fall off. And also, it's like what I just said, that if you really just make it the most basic level, in a way, it's players betting against themselves. But a bet I would make, like, it's risk of avoiding risk.
Yep.
And taking guaranteed money, you know, I don't blame them, but...
So here's another interesting thing. When this kind of trend first started coming out, so 2012, we have Andrew McCutchen and Madison Bumgarner who signed these kind of deals. 2013, Chris Sale and Buster Posey. 2014, Mike Trout and Chris Archer. And so those are, maybe with the exception of Archer, those are at least top three players at every position, if not, you know, you have five of maybe the 10 best players in baseball right there. But recently that's not happening, right? Because if you take that timeline of when those guys signed deals and you go to today, you'd be looking at Manny Machado, Josh Donaldson, Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts, Lindor, Correa, Springer, Chris Bryant, Corey Seager.
What's
and
the
none
difference?
Of these guys are signing those deals.
Oh.
And so the trend initially was we're going to lock up the top players for these deals. And I think what's happening is I think the players and their agents are becoming a little bit wise to the fact that, look, let's take someone like Chris Bryant, right? Well, let's say he gets injured maybe like 2 years in a row and then has an okay year. I'm pretty sure someone's still going to pay him
million
dollars.
Right. That's the thing with these top guys. It's like even on a worse scale, somebody like Jurickson Profar still having a chance. Somebody who's like a high prospect who sucks, that carries you so far.
Correct.
And like especially having won an MVP now, somebody like Chris Bryant, absolutely that is true. That if he were to be injured for the next couple years, he's still getting paid more than the whatever $15 million they would offer him. you know, for free agency. But then again, there's Matt Harvey, who is not going to get, like, he should have taken, the Mets, I don't think, offered him one of those deals, but he would have been a candidate to take it, and Scott Boras is telling him don't, obviously.
Well, pitchers, I think there's a huge difference in this between pitchers and position players, because the pitchers, it's like you're one pitch away from the end of your career, and you are, too, as a position player, but I think, you know, the turnover of good pitchers is a lot more rapid than, you know, like the great position players like Miguel Cabrera 10 years ago is still great.
That makes sense. So yeah, everyone's adjusting. The players are adjusting to what they're on to it.
Yeah, and because this is something I think we've talked about a lot, but this is one way that the owners were really kind of exploiting players, in my opinion, for the last couple of years. Because, you know, it's not about...
How about Salvador Perez's deal?
Yeah, they're still making a couple million dollars, but, like, the reality is, right, let's say, I don't know, let's say I'm a teacher and I'm getting paid $75,000 a year, hypothetically, but my market value is, let's say, $200,000, right? You're going to be pissed off about that. And
right.
It's the same thing with the major league players, like... Yeah, they're still making multiple millions of dollars, but if you can make three times as much, you're not going to have another chance in your career to earn three times as much.
Right. But that said, it only works for the top guys to hold out in this case because,
correct,
like you said, they're the only guys who can get away with, if I'm injured the next 2 years, I still have this. But also insurance plays a part. But let's start with our teams.
Well, one question I was going to ask for you, this is interesting. So
I'll decide that if it's interesting.
Bryce Harper's 2 years away from free agency. If he basically, like, just sat out, let's say he still accrues service time, but if he just didn't play another game between now and then, hit free agency and for all intents and purposes was healthy, what do you think he would get as a contract?
All right, let's say in money's the same, like it's there, not inflation over the next 2 years. I would think he would get, if he just chose to set out, that would be such a character scary thing, right? And that is part of it.
Right.
But, or you want to pretend that he was injured but making a full recovery guaranteed?
Yeah, that's a better way to put it.
So let's say he's injured, guaranteed to make a full recovery. I think he's getting, instead of $400 million, $280 million.
Yeah, I agree.
For 7 years, you know, something like that. Like a, not a Cano deal, but like a little less than that.
Yeah, and that's the point I was trying to make with those kind of players.
They absolutely can hold out. But then guys like Roberto Perez or somebody who gets a chance, plays well, they should take it. I would do it too.
And I think somebody like him, I think that
from let's start our team. We're getting redundant.
Perspective, that's a little bit of an over. Like I wouldn't have done that.
Right, right.
For Roberto
Perez. He may be the start of. That's what I was saying before. Where does it start to get too much? Like they play three games and then we lock them up just to try to get ahead of it.
He had one good playoff.
Right. All right. So we each made a team with, and this is just like counting for age, right, and their years of controllability, given the context of the discussion we just had, the teams we would build today if we could draft. You know, we're not in their current contract, if they're in free agency or whatever, or even if they've been bought out, doesn't matter. Just their age, really, like their years of controllability relative to their skills or whatever. That's what this is. So I guess we'll start in right field because that's a very interesting one between, I assume when you said it's interesting, Mookie Betts and Bryce.
Yeah.
I had Bryce. There's no debate in my head at all. Who do you have?
Yeah, I went with Bryce Harper
I should have asked you first so I could have fake disagreed. What? Why?
Yeah, no, I mean, Mookie Betts had a great year last year, but to me, you know, Bryce was in a down year and he's still ranked as the, you know, the fourth best right fielder last year. And last year was probably the worst year of his career. He's a generational talent.
I don't know, though, man. You could say, here's the counter argument, that last, you know, 2015 was the outlier because three out of his 4 years, he was last year Bryce. But I think that may be the case. I don't think, like, 2015 necessarily was his emergence. I thought it was at the time. But given an entire season last year, maybe he was hurt. I love him, but just the fact that he had that season and is capable of it. Mookie Betts will never have a season that great.
Right.
I don't care. Last year he had David Ortiz in the lineup. Like, that's as good as it will get for Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Bryce, that's one of the best seasons I've ever seen. Like,
right.
So I agree with you. He's 24 and a half years old. So we're in agreement there. What about center field?
Center field. I mean, I think there's really not much of a discussion on that one either. It's got to be Mike Trout.
No, it's got to be Trey Turner, dingy.
He is not a center fielder.
Yes, he is.
If you want to put him in center field.
I'm kidding. No, yeah. It's Mike Trout. I'm just trying to have a hot take. I'm just trying to disagree. I'm just trying to get some fucking sizzle, man. Yeah, Mike Trout is 25. He's a god. He's an MVP. We don't really need, that's not that interesting, I guess. Left field, how much did you cheat? I want to see if you're a sneaky little, you know, moving players around, or you went honest.
Well, I mean, what do you want to call cheating?
Chris Bryant?
Yeah.
No, I thought of him, too. I don't know who else to put. Schwarber is the only other, like...
The player that I had number two there... but he's not even a left fielder anymore.
Marte?
Christian Yelich.
Oh, Christian Yelich, right. Or Starling Marte, how old is Yelich?
But he's a center fielder
25?
Now.
So is Yelich.
Right.
I'm saying they're the same. How old is Yelich?
24.
Right. Marte is even 27, but...
Jose Ramirez is another person you could...
What, he plays third and left?
Yeah, he plays left.
So I don't think it's cheap. Chris Bryant played like half his games there. I'll let you have Chris Bryant, but you know what? I'm going to be honest, right? I want my players comfortable with their position, so I'm going to go ahead... and not cheat, and have Chris Bryant, you know, maybe I'll pick him later at another position, maybe, while you can't, right? And I'm going to put Kyle Schwarber on left field. So we got the same outfield except Schwarber and Bryant.
I think that's like a really poor decision.
Dude, shut up. Where are we
at next?
I mean,
I'm just trying to have a discussion. I think it's a bad call.
You know, you really get personal with my... Why are you personally attacking me?
I'm not.
I'm joking, you fuck. Play along.
You dummy.
This is a bit. It's a radio bit, you fuck.
You are so dumb.
We're going to get the explicit tag if iTunes ever listens. Mr. iTunes, if you ever listen, you think they have robots that monitor language? Like Alexa's listening to podcasts?
Tim Cook, the CEO, is going through.
No, yeah, he is. Oh, or Alexa's falling asleep.
Steve Jobs is going to signal from the grave.
All right, so since you have Chris Bryant left field, I assume you have Nolan Arenado at third base?
No, I have Manny Machado at third base.
Why?
It was either between Bryant or Chris or Machado
Manny.
To me. Machado is only 24. His defensive skill set, I think, you know, outside of Arenado, he's the best defensive third baseman in the game. And I firmly believe still with Machado that we still haven't really even scratched the surface of what he can become.
I think we've clawed the surface.
He's getting stronger every single year, so I think last year
he hit 37 home runs.
The breakout year. But it kind of speaks for itself. I mean, he's going to probably be a Yankee too.
Well, okay, so I took Arenado, and I actually, like, he's my number one choice if we let ourselves have Bryant left field. Obviously, if I have Schwarber, I'll put what's his name. But if I were your team, I'd put Nolan Arenado for sure because he's been better than Machado's best year for 2 years. Yes, at Coors Field, and yes, he's 26. He's a year and a half older.
Yep.
But he's a better fielder and maybe equivalent of a hitter, but he's done it more consistently. You know, I don't know how much to account for Coors. He hit more home runs on the road than at home. You know, I mean, it's not... I know it's not just about home runs, but I love Nolan Arenado. I would take him. And I suspected that this would be the difference between our teams, if any, at positions that there is room for a debate, that you would be on the younger side, like the more Kyle Schwarbery, Gary Sanchez, and I would be more on the stupid old veteran GM guy.
The other thing I do like about Machado is he can play shortstop, and I still think it's ridiculous that the Orioles don't play him at shortstop, but... that might be like a tipping for me, right? He's a year and a half younger than Arenado, and he could play shortstop.
You overrate versatility, though, I think. Who went first in fantasy draft? Who's going to have a better year this year, you think?
Arenado or Machado?
Who has a higher WAR this year?
Who has a higher WAR this year? I would say that it's probably Arenado, but
right.
I think that
I
if you can plug Machado in at shortstop for fantasy, I think that...
No, in real, like at third base where we took him, like...
I think Arenado will probably have a better
and
year.
And how much of that do you think is Coors or not?
I don't think a ton of it really is because Machado plays...
So it's just a year and a half in the versatility.
Right.
Because you acknowledge that Arenado today is a little bit better.
Yes.
Okay, me too. And that's why I would take him, though. Because I'm trying to win a championship now for my fans, Tom. All right, shortstop. Who do you have? Lindor? That's your boy.
No, actually, I have Corey Seager.
Aww.
And...
Who you didn't want to draft. I convinced you to draft him.
Yeah, that was... So, Seager...
He's so good last year. Only one season, but he's awesome. To Lindor's, too.
Yeah, his numbers are crazy. I mean,
I know. I feel like I'm afraid with him that it's like our Correa craze a year ago. You know, maybe. But that's the only counter argument. But go on. Sorry.
Weighted runs created plus 137. You know, that's just so far and away better than the other grouping of shortstops you have there. So like Lindor's 112, Correa 122.
This is just last year.
Yeah, year. And again, right, like it's his first year, so it's another example, right? Like he could get so much better than he is.
But he could just be a flash in the pan. He could be, I don't know, I can't think of anything, you know.
The only concern and maybe why I would have picked Lindor over Seager is because Seager I don't think is going to end up staying at shortstop.
Yeah, I'll take Lindor because... One, he's done it 2 years. Not as great, obviously, in either year as Seager last year.
Yep.
But he's a better fielder by a little bit,
yes,
I believe.
He definitely is.
And
switch hitter.
And, yeah, switch hitter, that's cute. But, I mean, I just care about the result. But, yeah, I like switch hitting. And that he's done it for 2 years, really. And I'm just afraid that Seager is a one-year dude. And also, if their hitting falls off, at least... Yeah, at shortstop, I want the little bit better fielder sometimes.
Yeah, and Lindor stole 19 bases last year, so...
Well, that's cute.
I mean...
That's nice. How about second base, bro?
Second base. All right, so this is definitely my hot take,
yeah,
so why don't
yeah.
you go first?
No, you... Oh, fine. I have Altuve. I have the chalk. Jose Altuve, he's 26.
What is this, Ryan Chalk DePaulo? Everybody, listen to this hot take. Jose Altuve at second base. Whoa. Who is that guy? I never heard of him before.
He's a punch and Judy hitter.
You punching in some sabermetrics in your calculator
all
over
right,
there or
all
something?
All right, who do you have? Who's your hot take? I can't even get, yeah, I don't even know. Javi Baez or some joke, some clown?
What do you think?
What are you moving, Trey Turner over there or something?
Yoan Moncada.
Oh, you ridiculous.
21 years old, switch hitter. Highest contract ever given to an international prospect.
Oh, that's a good. That's a plus that he's paid more for doing nothing.
Well, it just speaks to the level of
stupidity
what he
in
is.
Front offices.
He's just wait and see.
Fine. No, you should have one hot take thing on your team. That's cute. Whatever. Enjoy while Altuve, you know, wins another MVP and a batting title and. You know, is an advocate for midgets.
I'll have him for 5 more years.
Okay, whatever. I'll pay Altuve because I'm in a big market. How about
but you're a Mets fan?
Well, I'm in a big market, but cheap.
I'm
an
evil
didn't let
empire.
You didn't let me finish the sentence. I'm in a big market, but
I'm the Bernie Madoff team.
I'll pay, yeah.
I'm right. going to use my coupon, and Altuve is going to give me 25% off.
Yo. Who do you have at first base? These are the candidates in my eye. These are the only three I could come up with. It was Rizzo, who's 27. Goldschmidt, who's 29, actually, or Freddie Freeman, who's 27. Maybe you could go Greg Bird, who's like 23 or something, 24.
The other interesting one, although we haven't seen any of them yet, is Cody Bellinger, the Dodgers prospect.
I'll take
he's
Josh Bell,
21.
Actually, just for a hot take. He's going to be great.
Okay, Josh Bell.
Yeah, he's going to be sick. And I need a black guy. I don't have any black guys on my team.
Really?
None. Nolan Arenado, Lindor, I guess I have, actually. Never mind. But
he's
not really
Hispanic,
black.
Yeah.
Altuve, Trout, Bryce Harper, and Schwarber. I got no black guys, so I gotta have a black guy, or the NAACP will come be like, "Hello, Mr. Ryan, you need to have a black guy on your team. You can't be doing that, Mr. Owner Ryan."
And
I'll be like, "Holy crap, that imitation's racist."
I went with Anthony's Rizzo.
Okay. Why did you hire him, Mr. McLaughlin?
Well, yeah, I was stuck between Freddie Freeman and Rizzo. I think Goldschmidt is the best player today, but Rizzo, to me, I just think he's the better all-around hitter. His K rate is 16% versus Freeman, who's at 25%. And going by the defensive metrics, Rizzo is the best defensively out of that group. So
Freeman and Rizzo are both good defensively, but I feel like Freeman's like a streakier player or something. Like Rizzo's more consistent. Maybe it's just because the Cubs are good that we see him in the media more, but he's a likable guy, right? Like for whatever 1% this is worth. I definitely think Rizzo is the most valuable, like, first baseman. So already, you know, we haven't even done catcher or pitcher, and the Cubs have three on my team, potentially, with Bryant, Rizzo, and Schwarber, right? Three of the most valuable, including everything, position players. That's crazy.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? I was looking at their prospect list, too, and they traded Gleyber Torres to the Yankees, but then I forget his name, but they have a second baseman who looks like another just like surefire, like a potential all-star. So they just keep bringing
Ben Zobrist.
Guys up. He's actually a player that's very similar to Zobrist.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not going to remember his name.
Dickie McGuvel Schnapps. All right, who do you have at catcher?
This one was tough. I'm actually.
Why was it tough? Just because everyone's old who's a good catcher with a track record?
Yeah, and that position more than anything, I think age matters.
What do you mean? You want a young one or you want a veteran?
Yeah, I want a young one because I think the mileage for catchers, I mean, they definitely fall off faster than most other positions.
I get you,
all other positions.
Right. First base is a position that we both have the oldest player, and it's because that's an easier position to play for longer.
So with all that in mind, even though he's a little bit older, I'm going to go with Wilson Contreras.
How old is he?
He just turned 25.
Oh, my God. And how long has he been good for? 5 minutes?
About a half a year.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you know,
Jesus Christ.
I'd love to go with Gary Sanchez, and I think he may be the better hitter long term. Wilson Contreras, to me, though, there is something about him that I really like. I think he's got the poise to be, a consistent all-star catcher. He's better defensively than Sanchez. And so, to me, that kind of gave him the nod a little bit.
All right. Well, you're screwed when they change the rules and you can't visit the mound 10 times a game.
Yes.
He's going to suck then. No, I'm kidding. But he just might have to learn English or learn body language a little better.
Well, Sanchez can't speak English. So.
Yeah. And he's fat. Sanchez is going to be a DH. But they have about the same amount of results, or Wilson Contreras played a little bit more than Sanchez.
Contreras played 76 games last year. Sanchez played 53.
Okay, so close-ish, whatever. I mean, both are hot takes, and that's why your team is going to lose to mine, because I have Salvador Perez, who is only 26 still. He has a lot of mileage, so with that point, maybe you got me. Maybe his knees is going to explode.
Yeah, I think
and
his
they
knees
pitch
are going to blow
out. His slave owner team abuses him for, like, 50 cents a year and makes him play 160 games.
Yeah.
But he's done it for 4 years. You know, I just think catcher is so hard to maintain goodness at that. I don't know. I just like he's has a track record and that matters to me. Weighed on the scale versus, cause there's so many people who could look good for a little while. And yes, your team's ceiling may be higher, but which is reverse of what we think, because I'm a degenerate gambler and you're a smart, calculated guy. So I would think you would want the lower floor, like the higher floor team. But no, it turns out I have the higher floor team and you have the higher ceiling.
Yeah.
What do you say to that? What do you say to critics who say, Tom, your team sucks?
What I'm going to say is, keep it to yourself or put it on that Twitter thing.
But so it's crazy, dude. Literally, the Cubs have four people in contention for spots.
Yeah, and I think
I'm so jealous.
I think Contreras is a hot take. Like, I don't think a lot of people would consider.
Commit.
I mean, I don't think a lot of people would pick him, but even just from like surface level, right? Like, we are not counting Addison Russell, who is at least the top 10 shortstop.
Yeah,
dog. Javier Baez, his ceiling, I think, is about as high as anybody else at second base. Yeah, I mean, that team, they are nasty.
I'm so jealous. But that's only position players. So now the Mets to the Cubs, I don't know how to phrase that.
Meet the Mets.
Who's your starting pitcher here, too? Obviously, Syndergaard.
Syndergaard was my one.
He has to be. He's underrated entering the season somehow, like for the Cy Young rankings. Like, he's like fifth or sixth in the NL odds.
Yeah,
maybe because of inning, maybe because they don't think he's going to get that many innings or whatever, but he's so good.
You think it has to do with, let's say, you know, Kershaw, there's probably a better chance they think that the Dodgers will make a playoff spot than the Mets?
Yeah, I guess same with Madison Bumgarner or I forget who else. Strasburg was like neck and neck with him. And I think, yeah, the Nationals are Scherzer, right? The Nationals are expected to be a better team than the Mets. This is before Scherzer got hurt, but
he has that sort of like lingering.
His forearm tightness.
Yeah, I mean
that could have played a part.
That plays into the risk.
Everyone's terrified of injuries with pitchers, like to the point that David Price isn't drafted and stuff. So yes, that probably mattered in the
rankings.
Everybody
has some sort of arm issue. Like every pitcher in the game, they say something about, but it does play into it, right? Because you need the full season basically to win the Cy Young.
How about number two? Who is another pitcher you might want to indulge in? Another young pitcher. You look at the list, and I will tell you the virtues of Steven Matz, who is 25 only, and even though he's been hurt here or there, he's a lefty, which is cute, but that doesn't matter in and of itself. He's just good. There's not that many young, good stars. Mad Bum is only, like, what, 27 still? Every time you look, he's still freaking so young.
I think he's going to be very good for a long time. His
wife's arms are such a red flag to me. Like, they look like pillows. You can't have a wife that looks like the bad guy in Ghostbusters and have good character.
The other one I have is Julio Urias. From the Dodgers. He's only 19 years old.
Dude, he sucked last year more than I thought. Like, I went to draft him in my other league, and then I'm looking at his numbers, and I think it was like, like Trevor Bauer, right? Where, like, he has a couple highlight starts where he kills it.
Yeah.
And that sticks in your mind more than, like, most of his innings with, like, a 1.4 whip.
Right. Well, look, I mean, he's still 19, and the Dodgers really handled him very weirdly last year. Like, they brought him up and sent him down three different times, and then, which is a waste of options. But then they also, they were, like, having him go to the bullpen and then starting, like, every eighth day. But he has, like, a ridiculously high ceiling, and I think he has a pretty high floor as well. So,
who would be on your all? Let's just do off the top of our head, name some players on both an all fail disappointing prospect team and all like bad contract team. Obviously, Jacoby Ellsbury's playing center for a bad contract team, right? Chase Headley, the Yankees got third base.
That's really not, I don't think, that bad of a contract.
Dude, he sucks.
I really don't.
He's a league average third baseman for $56 million.
But that's really not that much.
You still defend it.
I'm not happy about it, but I don't think it's nearly the worst contract in baseball.
You think Brian Cashman is going to text you tomorrow night and say, thank you for defending me on the Cap Figure podcast?
I do.
What is wrong with you? Wait, seriously, you really think that $56 million for an average third baseman is okay?
Well, for 4 years, I mean, look, I'm going back at the time, right?
Like, he had one good year.
Well, he's pretty good defensively. Look, I think here's how I judge it being a horrible contract. I think if the Yankees covered half of the salary for this year, I'm pretty sure they could trade him somewhere. And I think that with really, really bad contracts, you would just have nobody even picking up the phone. So I don't think it's as bad as you think.
You think they would get something in return? Or able to get rid of him for half?
I think they would probably be able to get rid of him.
Okay, so you agree, though, that it's a bad contract.
It is. I'm not saying it's not.
Well, it sounded like you were. So who's a worse contract at third base? Pablo Sandoval?
That's obviously very bad.
He could rebound, though. But, yeah, that's bad. How about Hanley? He's got to play some position, even though he's at first. You didn't pay him to be a first baseman.
Hanley Ramirez is a bad
contract. Or Pujols. And then Giancarlo Stanton's playing right field for 50 games before he gets hurt for me.
That is... I think that's got to be maybe the worst contract
in baseball right now, yes.
Even though he is a pretty good player,
yeah,
just like
I don't
the
like
value
him.
Is so bad
and
for
he's
that.
Injured every year. Like, I don't really know if I believe in injury prone like non-pitchers being injury prone or not, but he is. Every year he gets hurt. You can't have centaur legs and live like that. How about any shortstops have a bad deal that I can
mean,
think of?
Is Jose Troy. Reyes still getting paid?
Oh yeah, that is a good one.
From the Rockies, yeah. Or originally the Blue Jays,
yeah.
Then they traded him to the Rockies, so the Rockies are still paying him.
Yeah.
Ryan Howard is now retired, so that spot opened up for the worst contract in the game.
Yeah.
And then I think Starlin Castro's contract's pretty bad.
I was going to say he could be on both teams. He could be on the all disappointing prospect team and the bad contract team.
Prince Fielder's contract was pretty bad too, and I'm pretty sure he's still getting paid.
Right, but the insurance covers some of it for them at least. But yeah,
sure.
Well, you got to be a player to play on our horrible team. But yeah, these are all horrible, disappointing. But they could win games. Like this team that we're building, they'll still win. Like they'll be like better than the Padres.
Sure, but again, it's all value.
Right, and that's what today's show is about.
Miguel Montero actually signed a 5-year, $60 million contract with...
Oh, Jason Hayward, too.
Arizona. Hayward's is pretty bad. Who else was I thinking?
I don't know. Who are other disappointing prospects, money aside, like Jerks and Profar?
Profar, I think...
Byron Buxton could be on that team pretty soon. He has one hit so far this season. It's only 3 games, but I'm scared of him.
Carlos Rodon, the starting pitcher from the White Sox.
What's his name? He hasn't even made the majors. The other guy, the pitcher, Apple something.
Oh, Mark Appel.
Mark Appel.
I think he may actually almost be done playing baseball.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Who else? Lucas Giolito, who was traded to the White Sox for Adam Eaton. I would consider him, even though he hasn't really pitched in the major leagues yet, I would consider him a disappointment because he was supposed to be like slam dunk best pitching prospect and just not the case.
Yeah.
How about Jordan Zimmerman?
Yeah, he could make the team.
How about Ryan Zimmerman?
He's been okay. He's not been horrible, but yes, he could make the team.
6 years, $100 million.
Oh, contract team. I thought you just meant like not living up to his hype. Well, either.
Matt Kemp, pretty bad deal.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, it's a bad deal relative to what he's paid. But last year, he's good. We saw him hit 2 home runs last night, right? His fat ass looked decent.
I got another 2. So Zach Greinke's deal is pretty bad.
Oh, that's good. He's our starter. He's our ace.
Then David Wright is a bad deal.
Yeah. How many years are left on it? I don't even know.
It was an 8-year deal when he signed it. So,
That was like
3 years ago, maybe.
No, it was long. It was like 4 or 5. I mean, whatever. Yeah, that's a bad deal. Now he's really gotten in horrible injury. At least as a Mets fan, and I'm gonna be delusional like you are with Chase Headley and Jacoby Ellsbury, right? Because you're blinded by your fanness, and so am I. David Wright. Got on. At least he didn't just play bad like Jacoby Ellsbury and Headley. At least he doesn't just suck. I mean, it's still the same thing, but I guess it's like Giancarlo Stanton. I don't get to hate his deal and then be a stupid little Mets fan and say, well, it's not his fault that he's getting hurt.
What about Homer Bailey with the Reds? He got paid $105 million. I don't think he's actually even made a start since they signed him. Maybe like one start.
He's coming back this year. I have 300 on the Reds over. We're done with this episode in 3 minutes. Go on.
Shin-Soo Choo has $82 million left out of a $130 million contract from the Rangers. I'm always very high on the Rangers, but that's a bad deal.
Yeah.
And then another one, Albert Pujols.
Ian Desmond. Oh.
$140 million
I mentioned. Albert Pujols is horrible. But I think the worst is Jacoby Ellsbury because of how bad he's been, how much you got to pay him like 3 more years, man. Like, even though the money is not that great, I think, and you could even say that impact per team is not that bad because of the team he's on. All that aside, just dollar per output, he freaking sucks for so many years. And I don't blame them for getting Trey. It's hard to predict because he was so good that one year and when he played the other years. But, dude, really bad.
Yeah, it's a bad contract.
What are you saying it's a good contract, you delusional Yankee fan?
I didn't say it was a good contract.
Why are you defending it?
I am.
Dude, stay with the bit.
Cashman's
Jesus
the best.
Christ, stay with
Joe
the
Mauer
bit.
Joe Mauer's got to be one of the worst, too.
Yeah, again, that's one like David Wright or even maybe Jacoby a little bit. You can't blame them.
Chris Davis.
You hate him. He does what he does.
But I mean, come on.
But he's doing what they expected.
You're going to pay 40% of your payroll to a first baseman?
Well, I can't defend. I don't know. I don't have anything. Yeah, I don't have a comeback.
Elvis Andrews.
Nah. Shortstop is different. It's not like third base. It's not like, well, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. He's contributing. He's better than Jacoby Ellsbury. How about the entire Yankee roster? Starlin Castro, right? Brian McCann, right? DeMarc Teixeira, A-Rod. He just got lucky.
Teixeira's off the books.
I know. No,
but he was well worth it in the beginning.
Yeah, he absolutely 100%. When they signed CeCe and him, it was like they won a World Series because of that. And
it
they were both
best,
great.
Best first baseman in the game, probably the second best starting pitcher in the game
right.
at that point.
No, they were really good. If there was like a B or like a B-plus Hall of Fame, Teixeira and CeCe would be in it.
Yeah, they're right below.
Right. All right, we got to end the episode. We're going long. But listen to me.
Big game, James.
How are we going to get to another Mets game if we go?
Helicopter.
All right, yeah, we'll take the helicopter you're getting me for Hanukkah.
We're gonna kayak there.
Dude, Jody, I love you. You don't have Asperger's. Please, don't be mad at me. All right, bye. Cap Figure Podcast. What's the Twitter? What's your Twitter?
At Cap Figure.
I ask you not to like get you involved in the shows because I never can remember, and it's the most simple. It's at the name of our fucking show, at Cap Figure.
Yeah, it's good.